right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. And a very funny comedian is with us. He's been on with us before. You will have seen him millions of times in Whose Line Is It Anyway? Ladies and gentlemen, Drew Carey, nice to see you. How you been?
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Excellent. Greg Proops is with us, everybody.
Hello.
Why'd you write down Drew Carey here, man?
You said the guy from Whose Line.
His sister Mariah.
It's a crapshoot.
Yeah, it is a crapshoot.
Nice to see you, man.
Thanks, Tim. It's nice to see you. I'm the one with the glasses on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Right, exactly.
Just to delineate me from the tall guy, the older fellow, and the black guy,
right.
As he was known to us, or the rich guy or the fat guy, whatever you want to call Drew.
Yes. And Drew is a very wealthy man.
Drew is exceedingly wealthy. He lives in a cave of mystery in the hills.
Right.
That's just lined with latinum and gold. And notice how I use latinum, because that's a fake Star Trek jewel, precious metal. And Drew's got a second life thing going on.
Like Corinthian leather was made up as well.
Remember Corinthian leather?
Yeah.
There is no Corinthian leather.
Yeah, Chrysler made it up.
Mm.
Yeah.
It sounded good. It's actually cordovan leather, right?
Yeah. Isn't that like Naga hide?
Yeah, it's not even, it's just fake. It's,
yeah.
It's just
rich Corinthian leather. That's how you would say it. It was very sexy.
Right.
That brown interior that you had your eye on in 1978.
That's Gina Grad, and she's going to be doing the news. And Greg Proops is with us, so let's hit that news and see what's going on. We try and do it about 9 o'clock. It's about 5 after 9 here. Gina Grad in the news, everybody.
Now, from the 97.1 newsroom.
Back up.
What do you do? What do you do when they turn on what?
Here's Gina Grad with the news.
What do you do when they turn on what?
Right, the news with Gina Grad,
yeah.
Man. Look at that. Always my favorite part of the night.
Me too.
What's
awesome.
Going on? What's, what
Flame
is going on?
Some facts, fact farm.
I get to play journalist.
Yeah, what's going on with that news?
Well, controversial conservative Ann Coulter made an appearance on the Today Show this week promoting her new book entitled If Democrats Had Any Brains, They'd Be Republicans. And it doesn't appear that there was any love lost. Yeah, she's a doozy. There was no love lost between she and Matt Lauer by the end of this interview. In this clip, Lauer takes Coulter to task over the fact that she refers to President-elect Obama as B. Hussein Obama throughout her new book.
Oh, boy. All right, here we go. Ann Coulter, everybody.
In the book, throughout the book, you refer to the president-elect Barack Obama as B. Hussein Obama.
Not throughout the book.
Well,
I
in a lot of places.
Call him the Angel Obama.
In a lot of places.
The
you don't refer
Obama.
To President Bush as G. Walker Bush. Why would you, if not for the reason of appealing to the extreme readers of your book who still believe, despite all the information and despite the fact it's simply untrue, that he's Muslim?
It's not untrue that that's what his middle name is.
But why would you refer to him in that way when no one else refers to him in that way?
He refers to himself that way.
As B. Hussein Obama?
We now know that he likes his middle name.
But as B. Hussein Obama?
He's announced that he's going to use his middle name now.
Well, so I think George Walker Bush...
You act like this
George
is a hate
Walker
crime
Bush enjoys
to use his middle
name, too, but he doesn't call himself G. Walker Bush. I'm just saying, you don't refer to anyone else in that way.
Okay,
but
I think it's insane to act like using someone's actual middle name is some sort of vicious hate crime, point one. Point two...
Why take his first name out of the mix?
Because we just went... I mean, it is funny, Matt Lauer. I'm not going to deny that there is something ironic about having just gone to war with an enemy named Hussein, and they're running a guy whose middle name is Hussein. This would be like Republicans in 1948 running instead of Thomas Dewey, you know, if it were Thomas Hitler Dewey. If that were his middle name, I think it would have come out. If we were running candidates named, you know...
Would we have called him T. Hitler Dewey?
I think it would have been mentioned.
That's pretty funny.
As vile as she is, she makes a decent point.
By the way, my original stage name was T. Hitler Dewey, so I feel a little misappropriated and roughed up, frankly, by this whole dialogue.
Doug Steckler used to say he changed his name to Doug Steckler, and I said, what was your birth name? And he said, it was Adolf Bad Sex. I guess, she's no longer banned by NBC, huh?
No, that ban lasted about 8 hours.
Jeez. When was she banned? She's always on.
She was literally banned for the day, and then the execs called and said, you're not banned
the
anymore.
The reason she's on is to say things like
exactly.
This.
Yeah, exactly.
A thimble full of bourbon, and we're off to the races. She weighs about 5 ounces.
Stiff weight will knock her
over. She has the weight of like a pre-birth person.
Well, and if you noticed, we had a nice, comfortable vacation from her while her jaw was literally wired shut.
It was wired shut?
Yeah, that's why we had that nice little spot.
Well, that's not ironic either.
Not at all.
Because that doesn't even fit what irony is. It's just, in a certain way, God is right and
poetic.
True. Right. There is, every once in a while, you got to be kidding.
Why'd she ever wire?
I can't remember. I know a lot of people do it to lose weight, but I doubt that's why she would do it. She might have had an alignment issue. I can't remember.
Somebody punched her in the face.
Maybe. Maybe.
Right. She tried to bite the truth.
Yes.
And it broke her.
All right. What else is going on in the news there, Tito?
The LA Times reports some discouraging news out there for smokers or even people who believe in basic civil liberties. Lighting up on the outdoor patios of cafes and coffee shops may soon be a thing of the past here in LA. The City Arts and Parks Committee took a first step yesterday toward a new ban on smoking on restaurant patios or within 10 feet of any outdoor establishment that serves food or beverages.
Jesus Christ.
Indeed.
So who's gonna come out with a yardstick? And say, no, you were 9.5 feet.
They do it in Beverly Hills.
Here you get a ticket.
Yep.
Whatever. This is the most egregious breach of civil rights in the history of mankind.
Thank you.
And it just keeps getting swept through time and time again because everybody's got that idiotic NPR Whole Food Trader Joe parking lot Huffington blog. Bad things are bad, so it should just be bad. That's just the way it is. Like, if you took away their right to drive their big SUV.
Or to buy pesticide free.
Right. Or to mistreat their Mexican gardener or whatever middle class BS they're up to.
Right.
The words limousine liberal come to mind.
It really is the same.
Smoking on a patio. That's why they have the patio now.
Thank you.
Got everybody outside, right?
Yeah.
So shut up. It's outside.
Now, you're old enough. You're about my age, maybe a year or two older. But you're old enough to remember smoking in sports facilities.
Oh, dude. When my dad used to take me to see track meets when I was little, we smoked indoors at the Cow Palace in San Francisco and the Oakland Arena.
Yeah, it was great.
At a track meet.
With athletes trying to run?
Running from the smoke.
When I used to go to a Kings game with my dad, sometimes we'd sit up high, and you'd be in that cloud of smoke.
Yeah.
Up high, and you'd come home and you'd smell like an ashtray, even though you were like
smoking
6 years
planes.
Old.
Smoking on planes. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah, smoking on airplanes and also smoking in movie theaters.
Oh, my dad always smoked through the whole movie.
But now when
it was great, you know, I'm so sick of people in there. I'm over it. You know, in a bar, it's a bar, bitch. It's a bar. We're grown-ups. There's no babies in the bar.
Now, we're going to drive it home right now. Greg, are you a smoker?
No.
I feel the same way. I consider myself a non-smoker, and I'm outraged by this.
Yeah, it is unbelievable. But now there's third-hand smoke. I don't know if you saw that story recently.
Please.
We'll play it for you in a little bit.
They're legal and they're taxed, so everybody can get off.
And overtaxed,
But
when we used to go to the Forum, and you could smoke, and then they made it a rule about 15 years ago, you can't smoke in the Forum, right? This is before the Kings moved. And they made an announcement at the beginning of every game, you know, and as always, the Great Western Forum is a non-smoking facility. And all these liberal chicks, you know, they start rubbing their nipples and applauding.
Oh, yeah, they're cheering.
They applaud that statement.
Right. What if you said, we don't care for Jews tonight? let's limit some other legal things that everybody... It's so selective. That's what just drives me crazy.
Well, if this full city council approves this law, the measure could be in place this summer after a 6-month grace period, allowing businesses to adjust to the new rule.
Right. It's a good idea to also make another rule and another law to try to close down businesses.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Is it Chicago? There's a couple cities with a fagua ban, is there? Or was the fagua ban lifted?
What's that?
Liver, stuffed goose liver.
You're right.
Fagua ban. Because of the cruelty to the gays, and then, like, there's towns talking about, you know, high trans fat bans and whatnot, and you're like, exactly. That's all I have to say.
Well, here is, let me play
it's
this
your one. Right to be a fat pig.
Yeah, there is no, you
Proof
know,
so nine.
When you walk into McDonald's and you're 300 pounds, they don't say, you know, you can only have 3 burgers. You can order 20.
Yeah. Plus, as you probably noted on your news program, McDonald's business during this period is, because you can get some for a dollar.
Yeah, and there's a McDonald's in the Midwest that's testing this out, with not, you know, taking fat out of their food, but making their seats and their tables bigger to accommodate people.
That's what
to accommodate the large
about.
And in charge.
This is
just a slip and slide past the counter.
I can go inside a restaurant again.
A slip and slide.
It's a tray with a waterfall.
Yeah. Here I come.
Coke on the slip and slide. But this is, we played this two nights ago, or last night on the station. And listen to this, Greg. This is going to drive you crazy.
We've all heard about the dangers of smoking, even secondhand smoke.
Secondhand smoke is actually worse because there's no filter.
But what about thirdhand smoke?
I am very aware of who's around me when I'm smoking.
According to a recent study in the Journal of Pediatrics, thirdhand smoke is especially harmful to children.
It's a poison. It can be a pesticide. It floats, it lands, it then cauterizes to whatever material it lands on.
Thirdhand smoke is the residue left behind long after a cigarette has been extinguished. The particles and toxic gases cling to smokers' hair, clothing, furniture, carpeting, and drapes.
I know it's on me. It's on my clothing. It's in my hair. It's on my teeth. It's everywhere.
The American Lung Association heard of a recent case at a local area hospital with nurses who smoke and others who don't.
The baby gets very fidgety and doesn't want to be around them. And that is compared to other nurses that'll come in and who don't smoke.
According to the study, the residue left behind includes heavy metals, carcinogens, even radioactive materials that children could get on their hands.
Radioactive material.
And you notice it was aimed directly at babies?
They get fidgety because they're babies.
These kittens were discomfited in the most egregious and horrible way. You can't imagine the discomfiture of these kittens.
Oh, yeah. Now, you remember...
They're no fault of their own.
My grandfather... who had a 1978 Capri Classic. And he had one of the first cars that if you didn't buckle your seatbelt, the signal would go off,
yeah.
You know, the beeping, right? So he used to buckle it behind him,
right.
And then he got tired of that, so he just cut the seatbelts out and then cut the speaker out of the dashboard.
Yeah.
He literally cut the seatbelts out of his car.
So he wouldn't have to wear them.
Yeah, because there was no law you had to wear them.
No,
and he used to drive six of his kids, sometimes all the way to Big Bear, just for the day. He was, you know, smoking and had a bottle under the seat and took a couple pops. We all made it.
Yeah.
We all made it.
You would all be in child services.
Tim, that's
right
I know. I'm so glad Tim said that. I've been talking about it on stage for ages. My father would drive us to the snow with a bottle under the seat, smoking Salems the whole way. And sometimes you hear people gasp in the crowd like, oh my God! And you're like, I just say to them, this was then. It wasn't like an alternative then. I was living then. It wasn't that my dad was a psychopathic drunk. It was that everybody...
Right, everybody was doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the booster seat, because... rather than strap you in backwards, they lifted you so that you could fly further.
And more aerodynamic.
Yeah,
right.
You know, that was considered, everybody, you know, that was good.
Did either of you ever drive on the lap of the driver?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sit on the lap of the driver?
Yeah. I remember the last couple of blocks.
Dad letting you hold the wheel.
Oh, yeah, the last couple of blocks. Dad would let you hold. Yeah, right, exactly.
Do donuts in the driveway.
Exactly.
Okay, Tim, this is a standard
I hate
age.
People and their safety.
But I remember, you remember these two, the Mercury station wagon. It sat nine people.
Yes.
And the jump seat in back, the two people were in back were looking back the other
so
way.
So they could be crushed.
Yeah, and
truck.
I think it's Brian Regan said those kids had a real different vacation. They're like, I wonder what all those billboards say. But I was sitting in the back there, and we'd drive up to, you know, Big Bear or Mammoth, wherever we go for, like, Christmas vacation. And I'm sitting on top of a 35-gallon gas tank with no seatbelt, looking the opposite way. And we made it.
Yeah.
You could literally hear the gas sloshing underneath your
absolutely.
Seat.
Mom, we're low. We're low.
Wow.
I give it about 4 miles.
That Mercury had a Mercury head, too, like the god Mercury.
Oh, yeah,
the
right.
Logo on the all over it, on the wheel and on the front.
It's so great.
Yeah, it was good times. I know. I always say, we didn't ride helmets. I mean, we didn't wear helmets when we rode bikes.
Or
like
motorcycles.
You see kids pads on and stuff to ride a bike. You're like,
look like a Michelin man.
Yeah. We would chase each other with a stick until someone's eye was poked out. And that's how you knew you were having fun. Someone had stuffed a Tonka truck up themselves. I can't.
Well, you grew up in San Francisco, right?
And did anyone hand sanitize?
No, Tim? Nobody ever did.
Your mother would spit on a rag and wipe your face.
And wipe my face, yeah, or with a thumb.
You know,
that morning coffee breath. She'd drag it through her face and then wipe right under your nose. Right. And you're like, whoa, for the next half hour, I was smelling mom's breath.
Oh.
No one had hand sanitizer. We all lived.
Yeah.
Whatever with people.
My mom used to give us, on Easter, we each got a wool sweater for Easter. That was like the big gift everybody got. And as you know, you grew up and born and raised here in Southern California. At least you spent a lot of time here. Around Easter, which is like mid-April, it's about 90 degrees.
Yeah.
And yet we had to put that wool sweater on and go to church.
Right.
It's like it's sitting in a Santa Anita hot box while listening to the 2-hour sermon.
Yeah. Just scratchy to death.
Right.
Because it's a holiday, and holidays mean sweaters.
Oh. Yes, exactly right. God. All right, what else is going on in the news there, Gina?
So goyish.
Surely nothing else.
Well, you'd be surprised.
That's it, huh?
A Long Island surgeon. A Long Island surgeon who donated a kidney to his wife is now suing her for said kidney because he wants it back. Dr. Richard Batista, a surgeon at Nassau University Medical Center, told reporters yesterday that he decided to go public with his demand for the kidney because of his growing frustrations with his estranged wife. The couple is going through a bitter divorce, which was set in motion over the knowledge that Batista's wife was cheating on him. And since Batista knows he probably won't get the kidney back, he said he'd settle for $1.5 million instead.
Wow.
In this first clip, Batista expresses his extreme emotional pain over being cheated on by his wife.
What a bitch, though. I mean, she takes the kidney and then dumps him.
Oh, she got the kidney first.
Yeah, she got the
kidney.
I was
confused halfway through.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but to be fair, she didn't dump him. She maybe was doing it behind his back so she wouldn't hurt him.
Ah. So she was effing somebody else with his kidney.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right, there you go.
Now he wants it back.
All right, here we go.
Humiliated and betrayed. Disrespected and disregarded for me. As a person, as a man, as a husband.
Oh, boy. Guy wants his kidney back.
Stop crying, girl.
Put on your big girl bonnet.
I don't think there's a surgeon in the United States that would be willing to take on that task.
Well, see, they said that there's absolutely no way in hell this could happen because in this country it's illegal to put a price on organs.
Oh,
so
yes,
he's going to have to settle for the 1.5.
Oh,
shut up, you big Jessica.
In our next bit of audio, the doctor gives the reason why he wanted to save his wife in the first place.
Do you think he had a higher voice until he lost the kidney?
Possibly.
You think this is a one-kidney voice?
Yeah, this is the Dave Parker. I don't know where that came from. No one remembers Dave Parker.
There we go.
My priority was to save her life. Save a life for herself. Save the life for the future of our children. And hopefully, with that in mind, keep the marriage alive.
So the kidney worked, but the marriage failed.
Exactly.
Oh, too bad.
Very sad.
I believe the emotional train has left the station, and he's not catching
not
the drift
board.
Here. Yeah, that it's over. The kidney's gone. She's gone.
Yeah.
Get a job.
Took a little piece
Bye-bye.
With them.
Yeah.
But I always thought that if you paid for a breast enlargement for your wife, and then you did get divorced, that maybe they could throw you one of those, because that's not life-threatening if they were to remove one.
Well, funny you should ask. They said that there's a lot of people that come out that want their wives and girlfriends' implants back, and usually the judge says no.
Usually?
Yes.
You mean he has said yes?
It said usually. It said most of the time you can't get those back, but apparently there are a few cases.
With apparently, some anonymous exceptions to that rule that we don't know about.
Yeah.
God almighty. All right, what else going on in the news there, Gina?
Well, with the escalating conflict in the Middle East, Israel's invasion of Gaza has people on both sides of the argument speaking out. The death toll has now climbed to over 700, and this has sparked many protests for and against the Israeli government. One such protester was a woman at a recent anti-Israel rally in Florida who, in her outrage, suggested a possible alternative place where the Jewish community can go.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Like Cantors?
No.
Oh, all right, here we go.
Cantors.
Look at that.
We can all go back to the oven.
Oh, Bubba.
Yeah, according to...
Seems to be some tolerance being displayed down there. Where's that, Florida?
Florida, yeah.
There's nothing like peace.
Yeah.
Protesting for it, man. It really isn't. Yeah.
You know, that was
sweet.
That actually came out. That was recorded a week ago.
Oh, God.
And none of the news stations would cover it.
Uh-uh.
And then it was covered on either Fox or... I don't know. It's either like a radio station that covered it, and then everybody's playing it now.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll go protest at the Saudi embassy or one of the Arab countries' embassies. They say they're not giving enough support and maybe peace brokering this at all, since France seems to be leading the way.
Well, I appreciate the suggestion because I'm looking to move. And so.
Yeah, but who raised this?
Ovens are so confining.
Yeah.
Who raised that lizard? Space. I mean, who raised that person? Where not only do you think that, but you say it aloud in your home.
Put it on your placard.
And then you go and you say it aloud to friends.
Yeah.
And then you shout it in public.
It's a misdirected moral indignation and a self-appointed righteousness that doesn't behoove people who don't have the intelligence to back up their opinion. She thinks it's right to say that because she thinks the thing is wrong and blah, blah, blah. And she probably doesn't even know where bloody Lebanon is.
Plus, she probably, I mean, if you really sat her down and talked to her, she probably wouldn't opt for throwing Jews into an oven, but yet she screams that in the streets of Florida.
Back to the ovens.
Florida is not without their Jewish population. I'm sure she offended a lot of people that live in that
state. I hope she didn't do this in Boca. She's going to have people chasing her with walkers and canes.
There's some cities in Florida where,
You know, if she got killed right after she said that, I bet the judge would go,
You win some, you lose some.
What can you do? Yeah. I mean, somebody asked
Jews
for it.
Bad judgment.
I don't think there's a jury that would have convicted the guy that killed her. You know? I don't think so. They would have, from the jury box, have been like, can we wrap this up?
I mean, I love
we're all decided.
If the point of the protest is that the Israelis are unfairly oppressing the Palestinians, then surely, using that logic against the people who are doing the oppression is a circular logic at best.
Right. And it,
never mind don't taste. Help,
and it seems almost like, they keep fighting this group, the Hamas, who they say are subhuman. And then to throw that out, the protest sort of backs up the Israeli position of these cats are really beneath human beings.
Yeah.
I mean, for somebody to yell that, and kids could hear that, and obviously, kids have heard it, and especially, Jewish kids have heard this, and I can't imagine how you have to explain that away to your kids or grandkids,
Yeah, a little history lesson there.
All right, craziness going around the world. What else going on in the news there, Gina?
Well, finally, with the transition into 2009, more retailers are making the decision to close some of their doors. Here is an updated list of major retail chains that are cutting back in order to keep their companies afloat. God, I missed this song. Here we go.
Surely you played it all through Christmas.
We sure did, for all of our many retail closing stories. On January 8th, after one of the worst holiday seasons in decades, Macy's announced it will close 11 stores.
Macy's is odd. And they're one of the few stores that can anchor like two ends of a mall.
Oh,
you ever seen that?
Right. Absolutely.
Like there's the north at Macy's and the south Macy's.
Yeah. Sure. Uh-huh. And over here in the Beverly Center, there's the upstairs men's or the downstairs men's and the other one for everybody.
Yep. Yeah, there's one in Woodland Hills. Like one is Macy's Furniture and Men's, and then you got to drive down to women's and mattresses.
Yeah, right. It's
or
over
something.
The other end.
Like
in high school, I worked in San Mateo at a place called Mama's, and there was it was at the basement of a Macy's, which was like the groovy part of Macy's. Some Macy's basements were like where all the homeware and restaurants
were. And they had the
wooden
escalators.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Macy's basement was like where you bought,
fancy
I don't know.
Stuff.
Yeah. Like kitchen stuff.
Precious moments.
I always thought it was a real sort of arrogant and... It's sort of a braggadocious thing to do to eat at the little cafe on top of Broadway or Bullock's or Macy's. Remember that little cafe there?
Yeah.
These women
York,
with all their bags, they'd sit there at the counter and eat that food.
There's a really good one at Saks in Beverly Hills.
Oh, there's a great one at Barney's, too.
That's
Greengrass.
The one. That's
you can
the
sit
Greengrass.
Outside there.
That's the one.
Salmon.
Yeah, when I worked in Beverly Hills, that was the place to go.
Did you smoke cigarettes there?
Oh, sure.
Well, speaking of that, my mom...
Maybe not now because it's Beverly Hills.
When she would take us to like Broadway or Bullock's to buy us school clothes or Rudnick's out in the valley, she'd smoke while we were trying clothes on.
Absolutely.
In the store.
People didn't poo-poo that?
Nobody did.
No, everybody smoked everywhere. You have to...
There were ashtrays.
I don't even know how to explain it. Imagine if the world was free and there wasn't a bunch of idiots everywhere. Huh. That's what it was like.
Tell me about that place.
No one had phones. If someone called you when you weren't home...
Right.
Tough... Two
tots. Yeah.
And
tickets.
If you were on the phone, guess what? It was busy.
Oh, yeah. I hate that. God, I don't want to go back to that place.
We couldn't text our drunk... dickweed friends.
Now you hear, do you hear it, like, occasionally nowadays, it only happens like once a month, where you call somebody and it's busy and you're like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about righteous indignation.
Am I calling them back in 1978?
Yeah. Also, by the way, the phone worked every time you used it. It didn't drop out in the middle or anything. It was kooky. It was real kooky.
You didn't lose somebody around the canyon?
Yeah. And you know, I know we have hundreds of channels now, but the three that we had then, there was often writing on some of the channels. The shows that were like contests were on in the daytime and stuff.
Well,
no one ate worms on TV.
And Tim, didn't your dad say at one point that if there were less than something crazy like 50 million viewers, it was a flop that week?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's insane.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, on the Carol Burnett Show, they average like between 35 and 40 million viewers.
Yeah.
And now it's, that's, you know, they would give you, that's like Super Bowl Sunday now.
Oh, no, you'd own the network if you got 30 million now.
Oh, that's like Seinfeld numbers.
Well, they were splitting up the whole country, though, like three ways and maybe one or two football games or whatever was on locally.
And do you remember the Z Channel coming out or on TV?
Yeah,
it was literally, you had to go to the TV and turn the thing on box from off to on.
Yeah. The Z Channel?
Yeah, the Z Channel.
What was
that was,
on
that was the movies and sports.
Yeah, it was like, they were always wanted to do pay TV, and people didn't know that either. Like, even in the 60s, baseball owners wanted to have pay TV and stuff.
Who pays for TV?
None of the ideas are that new. Remember Winky Dink? You'd had to.
Winky Dink.
It was interactive TV because we didn't have interactive TV, and it was a cartoon that left stuff undrawn. And you were supposed to go to the store and buy this kit that had a piece of plastic that you would say, everybody shaking their heads, but you would like, he had a dog, and I can't remember the dog's name, and he'd go, oh my gosh, we can't, the bridge has fallen or whatnot. And he'd go, hey, help us draw the bridge, won't you, boys and girls? You know, and like, you were supposed to, you could take a piece of saran wrap, as we called it then.
Right.
Put that across the TV. And the people who hosted the cartoons, because cartoons were hosted all afternoon, right? There would be a local guy who would go like,
two-ton baker.
Would say, don't draw on your TV with a crayon. Go get a piece of plastic wrap. Which, of course, the idea of telling a child to get a piece of plastic wrap now and wrap it around your head and then wrap it around your brother's head. And we would put it on the TV and like draw the thing.
Oh.
It wasn't very interesting. Even as a child, it was like, after a while, you're like, okay, I get it.
I know.
But that was a wild attempt to get them to
interact.
And that's the same era that you could watch Mr. Magoo on TV. But now they don't show it because he makes fun of the blind.
Yeah.
He wasn't making fun of the blind. He was the nearsighted Mr. Magoo.
Or the nearsighted. Yeah. Well,
but groups have come out against Mr. Magoo.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Remember that?
Roadhog. He drove through a chicken coop because he couldn't see. And then he came out with a chicken on him.
Roadhog.
It was the fact that it was, the thing is, it was Jim Backus. The plot of the cartoon was inevitable. It was, he would go somewhere and mistake somebody for something or drive somewhere. And he had an idiot nephew in a Chinese house. Houseboy, fantastically. Everybody had a Chinese houseboy, but it was Jim Backus, and his voice was superb.
Oh, it's great.
Jim Backus just had the great, most hilarious. He was Thurston Howell the Third on.
Okay, now I get you.
Waldo. Like, I'm not doing him good, but that's the way.
That's
little
great.
Charles Nelson Reilly in there.
I'm doing it not like the way he did it. He did it much funnier.
Anything else going on in the news?
Yeah. Well, do you care to hear the rest of the store closings?
Yeah, a couple
more. Okay, there's just a couple more. Office supply chain Office Depot said that it would shut 112 stores over the next 3 months, and that will eliminate about 2,200 jobs.
I'm sorry about that, but I miss old-time stationery stores, I'll be honest. Like neighborhood ones. There's only a few left. There's like one in Larchmont. Yeah, because that's where you went before there was Office Depot.
But could you get your binders and legal pads there? Or just station, like thank you cards with dust on them?
Oh, no, no. It wasn't. See, it's not like the stationery stores today that are just bad cards. It was everything. It was the file folders, the
accordion folder.
It was the ribbon for a typewriter.
Yeah.
You know.
It was usually just a person who owned it, though, that you went
like
to.
Like a hardware store, but for stationery.
Exactly. And they were the ones who had to go. And you go, I need a, what are those things that you had to put around the holes in the binder, the little reinforcing white things that were gluey?
Yes.
They had horrible sticky glue that never held. And you buy a box of those.
Yeah, 5,000 for like 10 cents.
Yeah,
you know, lick them. You know, lick them and put them on.
I like the personal thing. Also, you could buy like one. You know right. what I mean? If you go to Office yeah. Depot,
it's all about bulk.
Yeah, 10,000.
Yeah. I don't need 4 million. I'm not gonna. You know, I'm not a psychopath.
I just gotta send a rent check.
Yeah. All right. What else closing?
Well, the electronics retailer Circuit City announced that it would shutter 155 of its more than 700 stores.
Oh,
a move that affected more than 7,000 employees.
Ouch.
And finally, the ailing department store chain Mervyn's announced that it would liquidate its remaining 149 stores.
Macy's slutty little sister.
Jesus Christ.
That's too bad. It's all those people who lose their jobs. That's the horrible part.
Yeah, it really is. And it's tough. Once you work, you know, you're working at Mervyn's, it's not easy to make a lateral move. I mean, you got to really, you know, scratch and call for another job.
I guess there is a silver lining.
What happened?
That all these people really have to do is wait for their tax refund checks to come in, and it'll be smooth sailing.
There you go.
You mean the IOU we're getting
From the state?
Right.
Anything else going on in the news there, Gino?
That's what's going on.
All right, the news with Gino, everybody.
The news with Gino Grass.
Son, shut up.
Give us 8.5 minutes, and we'll give you, well, that.
All right, we got to take a small break here. We'll come back with more of Greg Proops, and you can see him Saturday, January 10th at Largo at the Coronet Theater. 355 North La Cienega Boulevard at 9 p.m. The phone number there, 310-855-0350. 310-855-0350. And we'll be back with more of Greg Proops. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Greg Proops is with us, and he's got a great show coming up at the Largo at the Coronet Theater. You got Margaret Cho up there and Andy Richter, huh?
I do a chat show there once a month, which is basically a talk show, but...
That's pretty
We're
cool.
We're being fancy.
Dude.
So, yeah, this week I got Andy Richter and Margaret Cho, and they're going to come down and we just chat, and there's comedy, and I do stand up. And John Bryan does music. He does a score for a lot of movies. He did I Heart Huckabees and Punch Drunk Love. And
oh, that's great.
What was that? Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless.
Spotless Mind.
Yeah, did I get it right? Or did
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless
Eternal,
Mind.
John Bryan did the music for that. He's quite good. He produces lots of
And that's
of
Saturday at 9 p.m.?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Get your tickets, folks. 310-855-0350. We're going to take some calls here from people who had, and what we didn't consider irresponsible, what they would nowadays, irresponsible moms and dads. And we both grew up with them. And we always have some great calls from people who remember back in the 70s, 60s, 70s, and early 80s when there weren't a lot of rules and mom and dad were completely irresponsible. But they were just normal. Here are the phone numbers, folks. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Now, back when I used to go visit my grandparents for the summer, my grandfather worked at a company called Fram, then it became Ugite. And what they did is they filled up those big, like 700-gallon propane tanks that you see outside of businesses and mobile homes. And that's what he did for a living. And those guys, while they worked, they smoked. Yeah. But when he got home, he'd always have a Stroh's beer. So the first kid that would give him the beer, he would give a Dixie cup full of beer.
Sweet.
And I was always the first kid that did it. I was only 7 or 8 years old,
right.
And I got a full Dixie cup of beer. Huh. And at 8, you're flying.
Enough to knock you down.
Oh, yeah.
No, that was, and you, your parents always gave you a little tot.
Right.
And then the first time you don't like it when you get a beer, because
right.
you're like, oh, that's bitter, I don't like it.
Right. And then it gives you a little head brush.
I remember being given wine in restaurants, in front of everyone.
I remember, I did this, they say if your baby's crying or teething, dip the pacifier in like rum or whiskey, and now you'll get arrested for that.
Really?
Yeah, they'll absolutely throw your ass in jail.
Yeah, but it just sedates them and, you know, it makes them nose it out.
Yeah. We were taking my daughter to Oregon, and she was only 2 years old, and she is a little hyper. And God only knows where she got that from.
Mm-hmm.
But we went to the doctor, and I said, hey, is there anything I can give her to calm her down for the flight? And she gave me a little prescription for, I think it's like cough medicine or something. It just brings him down a little. And as I was leaving the doctor's office, she said, oh, by the way, about like 1 or 2% it has the opposite effect, but don't worry about it. Right. Had the opposite effect on my daughter.
Jesus, I gave
a little bit to my daughter before she got on the flight. She ran up and down the aisle for 2 hours.
Wow.
Grabbing like women's pantyhose
and stuff.
It was a terror.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we used to, I remember flying before 9/11 and when I was a kid, first of all, you never had metal detectors. And your grandparents could go on the plane with you, say goodbye to you, and then get off the plane.
Absolutely.
And they could meet you at the goddamn gate.
Right, when you walked off.
I mean, that's a part of flying.
Yeah, your
somebody
family
meets
was
you.
Waiting there.
Yeah, somebody meets you right there at the gate. They give you a big hug, and you start talking to them.
No, not anymore. Now we're all suspects.
Right. Now you got to meet them in baggage. And they're pissed off that they got to wait in baggage.
Yeah.
So now when you meet your parents, your grandparents, they're already pissed off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Now, don't even start me on airline rules. I fly every week, and it's just heinous.
Yeah, airlines are absolutely the worst. We had, you know, obviously during, you know, the holidays, there's a lot of planes that have been, you know, canceled, flights are canceled, stuff like that. I was flying up to Seattle for Christmas vacation, and the flight was canceled because of snow. So I said, well, just cancel it and put it back on my credit card. Yeah. And they did that. But you know what they didn't do? They didn't put the return back on my credit card.
Oh.
So I had to pay for the return. So I called the airline up and said, wait a minute. I said, you canceled my flight. And they said, yeah, but you didn't cancel your return. I said, but you never got me there.
Right.
And they said, well, you could pay $75 to change the ticket if you'd like to do that. And I said, the ticket was only $69 to begin with. So you want me to give you the credit card to, you know, for another, what, $8 or $9? I mean, it's unbelievable. The service is amazing.
Oh, no, there's no service. Today I checked in, and it was all the automated, you know, baggage things.
Right.
And a woman helped me, and she went, I can only do this when no one's looking. And I thought, you're joking, right? You have a uniform on and a name tag. What do you mean you can only do this if no one's looking? You mean they'll get mad if you a human helps another human? Never mind. You never showed ID to get on a plane. When was the last time someone gave a little kid a pair of wings? Remember those?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
I was given one years ago at an airport in Sault Ste. Marie.
Do you remember being able to go up and sit with the pilot while they're flying?
Yeah.
They'd open the door and they'd ask all the kids on the flight if they want to come up and sit with the pilot. And then you'd take turns and they'd let you sit in there for 4 or 5 minutes. And occasionally, if they were cool, if you said, you know, what's that button? They go, oh, you can press that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because it didn't mean anything.
No. Like,
but now.
That was before people incessantly broke into the cockpit as they do now. Thank goodness that barrier's there. But I like when they put the drinks card up.
The drink card up there. But they've gone overboard. Like the drinks card's going to, you know.
Vault that. That's engine. I believe in all of it. Not that much.
My daughter, who's at the time was only about 2.5.
Yes.
I took her to the bathroom up in front there, and she said, Daddy, she goes, I want to walk back to the seat myself. I said, okay, I'll walk back, and we're only about 9 rows back, and then you can walk by yourself. She wanted to be an adult. So she was up there, and while she's up there, and I'm in my seat, the captain knocks on the door, and they got to shut it down because the captain wants to take a leak.
Yeah.
So they said, we can't open that door until your daughter goes back to her seat. I said, she can barely walk.
Yeah.
What is she going to do? Get in there and urinate on the equipment?
Yeah. You're using her as a decoy.
Jesus Christ.
How many times have I seen that ploy?
Yeah.
The innocent child with the ringlets.
All right. How irresponsible were your parents? 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Let's talk to Liz and Downey. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hi.
Hey, Greg Proops is with us.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, Liz.
I'm sorry. Hi. Listen, on top of my parents being irresponsible, they were also immigrants, so they didn't read or speak English. So my mom used to make me eat Vicks Vapor Rub when I had a fever.
Jesus Christ.
Right. And then I got older, I was like, Mom, this is, you're not supposed to eat it. She was, you know, her response was, it was like, well, how am I supposed to know? I can't read English. And then she put this on her eyelids. When me and my friends would come, my friend would come over and we wouldn't go to sleep. She'd put it on her eyelids so that we'd go to sleep because it would burn to open our eyes. So we'd fall asleep.
Jesus
my
Christ.
My friend had pink eye for 2 weeks.
God almighty.
Good time. Right,
that sounds like another issue altogether, really.
Jesus Christ.
We've taken leave from the fun drinking in the car, and we've moved into having like Tiger Balm put on your head when you're...
It's like my dad said, you got to really make sure you don't get the Preparation A Scotch and the Bengay mixed up.
Yeah, it hurts.
Because your shoulder could start shrinking, but you'll be running to Cleveland. Now, when you were a kid, do you remember Bag Balm? Bag Balm was what my grandparents used, and it's used for the udders of cows, right? That's what
yes.
it's designed for.
Ugh,
but they, you know, they came from Romania and Ireland,
right.
where they'd use it for everything.
Right.
You know, you got a squeaky
all
wheel
purpose.
On a car.
Yeah,
you put some of that on. Now,
yeah.
You got an earache, put some of that crap yeah. in there. You know, your lungs are on fire, you got a cold, put that on your
yeah.
lungs.
Did but you get rubbed with it?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. It
was it's like a deep heating, horrible.
Yeah. Right.
yeah. Smelled like some sort of death.
Right. Yeah, you're 8 years old and you already smell like your grandfather.
It's like you're in Babe Ruth's training room or something, that stuff. So the old school smell of liniment was just fantastically awful.
Mark in Culver City, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
All right. How
hey.
You guys doing?
All right, man.
My dad taught me how to roll at the age of 10, roll cigarettes. And he's also a pot smoker.
Oh, yeah. Good for him.
So he used to, we'd be driving someplace where he said, hand me my box, which was in the car. And, you know, you never looked in it up until you were 10, and then, you right. know, roll that up for me while we driving.
Yeah, then you enjoy yourself.
That, I think, is... It's not so irresponsible as instructive in some ways, because later that's going to come in handy. One, and two, you're taking some of the pressure off of yourself. Did he make you go get bowls of Fruit Loops for him as well?
No.
Because that's the inevitable outcome of that.
Yeah, but to this day, you know, right now, he's a 420 person, a pot smoker,
mm-hmm.
and
he's
68 years old, and I have to roll for him now.
You smoke with him?
I'm at work. I can't answer that.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Thanks for calling, Mark.
Thanks a lot.
All
you
right.
Guys.
Take care of yourself.
Calling from the LAPD, was he?
Yeah. Did you ever get drunk with Dad or get
yeah.
high with Dad?
Yeah. Not high. My dad was old school, World War II, so.
Yeah. My dad.
Drunk, yes.
Yeah, my dad was old school as well, where if he ever thought that you were smoking marijuana, you'd
yeah.
be in a 60-day rehab.
Right.
But I never got high with my dad. I buzzed a couple of times.
Yeah.
I remember being in Vegas with my dad. And we had a few, and we were sitting at the sports book at the Hilton. And my stepmother's there, my sister, a bunch of people. And I said, I got to go up to the room and go to the bathroom. I'll be back in about 5-10 minutes.
Right.
And my dad said, yeah, I'm going to go get something to eat. I'll see you guys later. So I go over to the cage, and I'm trying to juice a credit card. I'm
yeah.
trying to take a bite out of a credit card. And he's standing right behind me.
Right. You both went
yeah.
the same place.
Two generations of Conway's
yeah.
lying to everybody.
Hey, listen, I'm going to go look at the Haley's Comet for a second. I heard it was out tonight. And I'll be back when I get $500. Yeah.
And those credit card slips, when you take out that $500, they're, you know, those yellow slips
oh,
you
yeah.
have to put a thumbprint on,
yeah.
they're floating around. You got
oh,
$500.
Yeah.
But the next day, you need two bellhops to try to pull them out of your pocket, you know, because you wonder, first of all, how many are in there?
Yeah.
You know, Jesus, what the hell did I do?
My dad used to take me to the track, and I learned how to handicap when I was like 13 years old. And so I was at the betting window, and don't retroactively try to arrest me for this, of Bay Meadows and Golden Gate Fields. And,
right.
Making bets when I
oh,
was
yeah.
like 14.
And I did the same thing.
And by
thing.
The way, the guy sold me the tickets. They didn't go...
Oh,
like,
yeah.
oh, you look too young.
No, they don't care.
No.
They didn't care back then. But also, you could cash a ticket in for a guy and not have to pay taxes. We did
yeah.
that, too, and they gave us a bump.
Remember that?
Yeah. But I was out at Santa Anita. I must have told the story a million times in the air, so if you heard it, you can go grab a beer. But my dad...
I'll be back in a yeah. second, Sam.
My dad, in sixth grade, taught me how to box an exacto.
Uh-huh.
And took me out of school for the day. And
right.
we were going to go to the track because I was having trouble in school. So the school...
I'm glad I'm not the only child. My story didn't shock you. When I tell
no,
other people, they're like, your father took you to the track and you were betting at the window when you were a kid? I'm like, yeah.
I started going to the track with my dad when I think I was two. At
oh, yeah, me
Thistle
too. I went as a baby.
But so I get back to school the next day, and it's show and tell, and I got nothing.
Yeah.
So I look in my backpack, and I got the program
right.
from yesterday.
Right.
So I show the sixth grade class how to box an exacto.
Yeah.
Like the 3-5, go 5-3, but box it, make sure it comes in, you know, because
right.
if it comes in 3-5, you're not going to like it. So they send me the principal's office, and they call home.
Because you didn't show them how to wheel?
Right. yeah.
And then parlay?
Because I didn't tell them the difference between an exacta and a quinella.
Yeah, right.
Which I still am, to the, you know, this
well,
day, you know,
ways.
Scratching my head.
Yeah.
So
it's the perfecta I have trouble
right.
remembering.
So the principal calls my dad's office at home and says, you know, it's borderline child abuse to teach your sixth grade kid how to box an exacta. And he says, let me tell you what child abuse is. My kid has a 3.5. It comes in 5.3 and he doesn't have it boxed. Now that's child abuse. Thank God he had a sense of humor about it, you know.
No
but
kidding.
If you grew up at the track, you have to develop a personality because everybody around there is funny or has a story.
Colorful, yeah.
Yeah. Everybody, you know, is, and there's a difference between gambling and playing. You know, a guy goes out and bets $10 on a horse to win, that's playing. When a guy bets, you know, his rent on the horse to show, he's gambling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, no, there's a big difference. Yeah. And the guys who are there every day, they're trying to grind it out. And all you want to do is be alive for the next day.
Yeah. And, you know, the old saying, there's only two people that lose at the racetrack. People that don't know what they're doing and handicappers. Jared in Culver City on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Great, thanks. How are you guys?
All right, man. What do you got?
You guys were talking about irresponsible parents. And my mom used to drive us all around. And regardless of the fact that we didn't wear seatbelts, those were just, you know, it wasn't a big deal at all.
Right. Yeah.
But she used to breastfeed my older sister while she was driving.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Now you are talking.
That's classic.
Right, I think she was just multitasking.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
She was busy.
But nowadays, you know, she would be arrested for that.
Everybody's arrested for everything now.
Yeah. Because if that airbag ever went out, that kid would go right through her.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
Well, remember when Britney Spears did her Country Fried, you know, carried the kid backwards on her lap?
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, that's what Gina was asking. Did we all ride on our parents' laps? I was like, yeah, we did, actually.
Yeah, we all did. Can you stay for another hour? You got to take off.
You want me to go?
No.
You're not angry, are you, Tim?
Can you stay?
Yeah, of course.
All right, excellent. Greg Proops is with us, folks. What a treat, because earlier, you know, we'd only booked you for an hour, but if you could stay for two, that'd be great.
I'd love to.
Excellent. Greg Proops, man. This is a real treat. Margaret Cho and also Andy Richter are going to be performing with Greg Proops this weekend, Saturday night, 9 p.m. It's at Largo at the Coronet Theater, 355 North La Cienega. It's just a little bit north of Beverly Boulevard, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And if you want a phone number, I'll give it to you real quickly here. Call and get tickets because I'm sure they're going to sell out, so call early. 310-855-0350. 310-855-0350. What are tickets running there? Is it 50, 60 bucks?
No, I think it's 20 bucks. It might be 25.
It's a good deal. Just to see you. And then, you know, these guys are all, you know,
Margaret's
going to
sing a song with John.
Is that right?
Yeah. She wrote a song with John, and she's going to sing it. And I promised to sit there like Elvis Costello on his boring show and sit awkwardly and stare at him.
Doesn't make him feel too uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Huh?
Are you done yet? I have something funny to say, Margaret.
All right. You're listening to the Tim Conway Jr. Show, and Greg Proops is with us, and we're live on 97.1 FM Talk.
Frank, Danny Bonaducci, Tom Likas, and more. Get complete shows now at 97.1fmtalk.com.